Hello.
Hello, let me call Blog Talk.
I was looking for the usual response.
Four, three, two, one. Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Marcus Rothkranz did not play. Anyway, hello.
Well then,
hello. And welcome to the Scrap Gov. No, wait, I think the Scrap Gov's crap. This is the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about feeding caterpillars to chickens.
Feeding caterpillars to chickens.
Free food, right?
It is. For the chickens. It makes their eggs so much better.
That's it. Marcus Rothkranz wouldn't approve.
Yeah, well.
He's a vegan. They just walk right by it. It's right behind me. Once they see it, they go crazy. They're looking at me, not them. I already dropped it in there. Just walked up. You're walking right over it, right by it, not even seeing it. Walking around like crazy.
Hi.
Oh, I thought one seen it. Maybe if I step away.
Didn't we determine last week our Blog Talk time was done?
No, we still got like 4 more hours.
Okay.
And that caliper is going to survive. Oh, wait. Oh, somebody found it. Get it. No, maybe not.
Well, one more friend has a bottle of diesel oil.
All right, cool.
We and might wife have, will be more calling customers. You about other oil.
So cool. Yeah, while going to Bolivar, we may have made 2 more customers in our interactions. One's a massage therapist who might be buying more than one of our oils. What the hell is wrong with these chickens? You ran up to it and then you stopped. Like, oh, I see it moving. I guess they don't like caterpillars yet.
Tano, are you talking to the podcast, or are you talking to yourself?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Your voice is faint.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're faint, and it sounds like you're talking to somebody else there.
Wow, that chicken tried to fly out. Fly the coop! No. It's just stupid, visible phone. I don't know what's wrong with it. I'm using the visible phone because it gets better signal. Alright, enough of the chicken. So, this week's podcast is about, we have no clue. Can you hear me?
No, we did not hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me talking?
Barely.
That's weird. Where's the mic on this stupid thing? Can you hear me now? Hello?
It's Ben. Your voice is off. I don't know if it's my speaker or your mic.
All right. I'm calling it with my other phone.
We're waiting for him to call in. Our advertiser today is Oils of the Earth. Oilsoftheearth.com. Right now, they are selling these oils. So check the site out and find out what it's all about. Alrighty. We just finished a Thieves Oil commercial. Oilsoftheearth.com. I hope.
Yeah, oilsoftheearth.com. Basically, that's me. Well, it's not just me. I got Sarah, David, and Cindy working with me. But, yeah, I've been doing essential oils since, like, 1996, I think it was, when I first started doing it. I have over 500 blends, and now we're going in a direction of animals. And because you got to be real careful which essential oils you use with certain animals. And before, most people were just paranoid and would stay clear of using essential oils with animals at all. And I knew there were some sensitive ones, but in general, I've never really had any problems with using essential oils with animals, except birds. I know birds are sensitive with essential oils. So now I'm focusing on essential oils and animals, and herbology with animals, too, because we got a farm. We're doing an off-grid organic farm and retreat. We're growing, cultivating, and learning how to grow our own free food and medicine. And we got 15 acres here. I got 10% of 20 or 19 acres around the corner, and we might be extending this property with another 20 acres here soon, as well as a small plot in a small town not too far away. So we got some land here, and we're going to be working on growing free food and medicine. Now, it won't all be free, but it'll be virtually free. You know, we'll put in our time and labor and maybe buy some stuff like we talked about previously on a podcast. We talked about chay fruit. I ordered 3 chay trees. They should be here anytime now. And Missouri Conservation, if we need to get in there real quick in the next day or two and order some trees from them, we can get a lot of different trees, like, say, maybe our
right. It won't actually come from them, but they have a favorite nursery that they send people to.
I heard that they ship some stuff to people.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, yes.
But anyways, I don't know. Oh, yeah, you don't have to do it that way. You can get it from other places. But, you know, the states do taxpayer stuff to promote trees and keeping the trees going, keeping life going and stuff like that. We should be doing that instead of relying on our government to do that. But that's a scrap topic. so you have to go to Scrap.
Yeah, it's like
Scrap.
People have fruit trees in front of their house, and all they do is complain about all the fruit that falls. What a mess
right.
it makes. Eat the fruit. Sell the
Eat
fruit.
Eat the fruit. Sell
Give it away.
The fruit. Give it away. Yeah, drop it off at your local farmer that might have animals that would eat it. You know, but, and there are animals even in the city that will eat those things like birds. But nonetheless, you know, make a pile somewhere and compost it. But, nonetheless. So, one of the things that Missouri Conservation is giving away is hedge apples, hedge trees. Well, this chay fruit grows. They graft them onto hedge bases. So I'm thinking, okay, we get a bunch of hedge apple trees growing around here. We can graft our chay fruit trees branches onto the hedge apple trees, and we'll have more cheaper because they're like $50 a pop to sell.
Yep.
Or a two-year-old tree. So most one-year-old trees are like 10 or 15 bucks. But these are 50 bucks. So it's a good way to, you know, you get a couple, buy a couple of chay fruit trees, then get some free Osage orange trees, or, you know, you might already have them growing in your yard or around the corner or in your field. You know, when you go to prune your chay fruit tree, those branches onto the Osage orange, and then you got more free food with a little bit of labor involved. But anyways, yeah, we got free food growing all around us. Like right now I'm looking at what we call winter crust. And our favorite one is
chickweed.
Well, chickweed, yeah, that grows everywhere too, so we try to cultivate that. Although at this point, we don't really need to cultivate it as much because we got a lot of it. But
I just have been eating the chickweed.
Yeah. So, you know, you see these things growing wild somewhere, and to keep from stepping on it and keep animals from pooping on it or eating it or whatever, you relocate it to a garden where you give it a little bit of TLC, and now you got abundance of it that you don't got to worry about, you know, having problems. And bada boom, bada bing. Like, so the Chinese lanterns, that's one of our favorites around here. So every time we see the Chinese lanterns growing, which they're not sprouting up yet, but they should be soon, we'll start transplanting them. We'll have a 50 by 50 plot here for too long, just dedicated to those. And so every time we see one... Huh?
I got a bunch of the Chinese lantern fruit, so I'm going to try sprouting here.
There you go. Yeah, we've already got a lot that we've been transplanting to our old garden, which is going to be in our future garden as well. But, you know, we're kind of moving it a little bit. But we got a lot growing right here in this little spot where I'm at right now. It's not coming up yet, but it will. So when we're out and about and we see one growing, we'll pull it up and we'll transplant it to our garden. And then in the fall, when it goes to seed and we're eating the cherry tomatoes off of these wild cherry tomatoes, you know, we'll take and eat the good ones, but then the ones that are already dried up or, you know, whatever, they're bad for whatever reason, we'll take those seeds and put it in the garden as well, and it'll come back up the next year, hopefully, maybe. And that's a good way to transplant free food and medicine that's growing abundance around us and cultivate it. My brother was talking about, you know, I did a post on Facebook about eating dandelions
And my brother said, put a comment saying that dandelions are the number one food source for bees. And so he accused me of killing bees because I eat their food source. And I'm like, well, one, we cultivate these dandelions. So, and they were not originally from the U.S. We brought them here as a food source. So we're eating them because they're a food. But at the same time, the people that spray the dandelions and kill the dandelions are the ones who are killing the bees. You know, so, and he agreed with that, but he also said bees aren't native here either. You know, maybe the honeybees. I don't know if they are or they aren't. But nonetheless, you know, so some of these things like dandelions, you don't want to be killing them because they are a food source for the honeybees. Clovers, I think, are the one of the main food sources for the honeybees. But, you know.
It can be. That's where you get clover honey from.
Right, but you're not going to eat all of the dandelions, you know. And let them go to seed, you know.
Even if you eat the flowers, if all you eat is the flowers, the next day there'll be new.
Well, yeah. And who's to say the bee didn't get its food from the flower before you got the flower, you know. So you can share it with the bees. But, yeah, grow more dandelions for the bees and then eat them as well. Don't kill them. But, yeah, I call myself a florivore because I love flowers. Most flowers, I like to eat them. The flowers and the fruit are two of my favorite parts of most of these wild edibles. But, yeah, I mean, like those Irish clovers, they grow everywhere, too. They're really tasty, wild edible. Cultivate those. I used to do, well, I still do. But, you know, before I even knew about foraging for wild edibles, I knew that was a delicious edible growing up as a little kid. And anytime I'd see them, I transplant them to the garden because I like to eat them. You know, I didn't think nothing of it. I didn't think of it as a free food and medicine, even though subconsciously I was thinking of it as a free food and medicine.
Full of oxalic acid.
Wow. I've never had kidney stones, and I eat those all the time.
Yep. Yeah. Well, if you do have kidney stones, that would be something to avoid. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, maybe.
Lots of things we eat have silic acid in it.
How do we know that the wood sorrow, the Irish clover, doesn't have the supporting nutrients to process the oxalic acid?
It might.
Right?
It might.
And even if it doesn't, the other things that we're supposed to be eating do. Smoke.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like eating a diet of all corn. If you eat only corn, corn's good for you. But if you eat only corn, you're going to have muscle aches and mental deterioration.
Right.
Because something about corn locks up the vitamin C in the corn. But you aren't going to get any vitamin C from the corn, even though it has it. All right? So, eat wheat. Eat some barley. Eat some buckwheat. Eat some rice.
Raw onions.
Eat corn. But I don't know if vitamin B is in onions, but if it is, eat it. Chickweed
right.
has vitamin B. Chickweed.
There you go.
Right. Don't eat
seconds.
All right. You know, corn's good for you. It'll clean you out. It's high in fiber. It's got, you know, your heart. It does have some nutrients in it. we don't eat just corn.
No. Well, no. Eat it with mashed potatoes.
I'm sorry, just I didn't hear your last.
I'm just kidding. I like my corn and my mashed potatoes, but... Or in spaghetti.
Oh, that's a good combination there.
Right? But, yeah, I mean, basically... We gotta eat different things to get supporting nutrients for the other things that we eat. Ooh, there's a grasshopper. I'm gonna catch it on chickens. Oh, oh, got it!
10 seconds.
I think I got it. Where you at? Ow! Blackberries. Chicken food! I like catching grasshoppers for the chickens, but I don't think these chickens are big enough to catch the grasshopper, but we'll find out. I fed them a caterpillar a minute ago, and the caterpillar got away. They didn't know what to think of the caterpillar. They liked worms. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're actually eyeballing a for sale property.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, wild onions, that's another thing that grows everywhere. I was taking my friend in Atchison, Kansas, foraging, and he loves the wild onions. Every time we go out, he's, like, collecting wild onions. We'll pull some of them up because he actually grows a garden. And so I've been taking him out and identifying certain wild edibles, and he'll take them back to his garden and grow them, so that way he's not just, you know, taking things out of the wild. He's actually growing some of the food that he gets out of the wild, like we do.
How do you think we got domesticated vegetables in the first place?
Well, of course. Here, chickens, get that.
We need those Chinese lanterns long enough, and we will rebreed the tomatillo. That's all a tomatillo is. It's a Chinese lantern, 3-4 times big.
They got it. Right? Yeah, I mean, just put some, what's that stuff called? Miracle-Gro on it. Miracle-Gro.
And then just select a breeding. You pick out the ones that taste best, the ones that are bigger, the ones that are juiciest, you know, the ones that produce longer, you know, and eventually we end up with a vegetable. Everybody grows a super thin cell.
That's it. Coco caught one of the cats trying to eat her food. She was like, hey, get away from my food. Anyway, yeah, thistles. You can get, what is it called, finch food in the store real cheap. Grow your own thistles.
Thistles are real tasty, but you're going to have to juice them.
Yeah. Oh, purslane, that's another wild edible that grows everywhere, usually in the cracks of sidewalks and stuff. But pick that up, take that home, or collect the seeds, take it home, and grow it in your garden. It tastes real good with the wood sorrow. Yeah, there's all kinds of wild edibles out there. What is this? Yarrow. Yarrow's another one. My nephew really likes yarrow. He calls it wild mint. It's probably
it's
more like
strong.
A... Yeah. It's more like a maybe a spearmint flavor, but I don't know. Not really, but I mean, yeah, it's got an intense flavor. I can't eat it raw. I make a tea
it's
out
more
of
intense
it.
Than mint is.
Yeah. I make a tea out of it. But yeah, you can.
It's good for your arteries. It helps you to make blood clot, you know, break your skin. It'll help heal the wound.
What's the one they make wheat or flour out of? Is it the yellow dock?
Well, the dock. It's related
Any
to
buckwheat.
Any of the dock. It's not very tasty as far as that goes. But you grind up the whole plant, seeds and all, seeds, stems, leaves. It turns red. And curly dock is the one that we used to be used for that. But any of the docks can be used for that.
Right on. So
and
yeah,
if you need
there's
a green,
flower.
It's sour. If you need a green, it's sour and bitter. But bitters are good for you. Bitters help with your digestion.
Right. But yeah, I took Cindy shopping today, and she couldn't find the flour she wanted because all it was white flour, and it's, you know, void of nutrients. So she was looking for oat flour, but yeah, Doc. Basically, if you you know, after this Corona crap, which isn't really whatever, we won't go there because we've already went there. But anyways, you know, the government crashes the economy like they're trying to do, and we're we don't have any food on the shelves or any decent food on the shelves, and we need flour. That's a place to go get free flour out of the wild is, you know, collect all the dock that's growing wild and grind it up and make flour out of it.
Yeah, it'll be gluten free.
There you go,
right?
Gluten free flour.
Say, oh, that's great. All right, they'll say that's great. Oh, it's gluten free. It's like, well, not exactly. All right. You're going to want to add regular flour to it so that you'll have the gluten makes the flour sticky, so it binds together. All right? So you won't really be able to cook biscuits out of this flour unless you add something like wheat flour to it. All right? You know. I mean, you can add egg and things like that. That'll help it bind some. But, you know, it's just buckwheat doesn't have any gluten. All right? So it doesn't get sticky. It will fold together. All right? You have to add something like an egg, or you have to add something that is sticky to get it to hold together.
Like honey.
Yeah, wrong kind of sticky. But,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so if you can find flour in the market, you can actually multiply your flour by using dock as a flour substitute.
Right. Yeah, I don't know about for dock, but I do know for, like, buckwheat, people have mixed their buckwheat as much as, you know, 9 parts buckwheat to 1 part wheat flour, and that seems to be satisfactory for making noodles and possibly breads and things like that. You know, everybody's in an uproar over gluten. Well, gluten, glue. Gluten's the glue that holds your bread together.
Well,
so.
Put some glue in your wheat flour.
When you add wheat flour to your dough, you are. You're adding glue. All right? But it's a good glue.
No, I meant like Elmer's glue.
Yeah, that's, you know. I'd rather go with a glue that's made out of something I trust to eat.
I'm just kidding. If you weren't kosher, you can go with horse glue.
Horse glue, yeah.
But anyways,
well,
I'm just messing around.
Gelatin? I don't know. I'd have to experiment and see if gelatin would. If you could make bread using gelatin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just horsing around. But anyway, let's see what other kind of free food and medicine I can find walking around besides juniper. Juniper's really high in vitamin C. And it's growing all over
tea.
The place.
Mullein?
Yep.
Mullein tea?
Oh. Roses and rose hips. Those are really good for you. They're high in vitamin C.
Yes. Don't eat a handful at once. Or I know somebody can testify what will happen.
Oh, yeah. I ate like 200 rose hips. I went crazy and had diarrhea the rest of the night and the next morning.
Now, these were the small rose hips, not the ones from your domesticated roses.
Right, yeah, these are like the BB size ones, maybe a hair bigger than a BB.
Yeah.
And then you got gooseberries and currants. They grow wild all over the place. They just started going to seed. The flowers were bloomed last few weeks. Now they're going to seed. So in another couple few weeks, we'll have gooseberries and currants growing.
Yep. Well, actually, we got the fruit already starting to develop on our gooseberries, on our currants, whatever they are.
Right.
I don't know how to tell the difference between one and the other, but
they're basically the same. They're in the same family.
If you pick them while they're green and make gooseberry pie out of them, you don't care if you got a currant or a gooseberry.
Right.
I don't care. You might, but I don't.
No. We got wild cherries growing on the land, too. They're better than the wild plums. I don't like the wild plums too much.
I've noticed that. You don't like the wild, but you can make tea. All right, so when you're trimming your cherry trees and your plum trees, take one of those stems and cut it in little half-inch sections. And then steep that, and it makes a great tea.
That's true. Yeah, you can make a tea out of a lot of these things. You could take the clippings from the junipers and make tea out of those. The rose hips. Coco, get back over here. Come on. She went under the fence.
Oh, now you know Kano's crazy. He's calling the cocoa plant and telling it to move.
Coco, come on. Get over here. Come on. Coco.
What kind of terrier is that? Staffordshire?
Yeah, Staffordshire. Come on, Coco. Stupid dog. Oh, well. She's a stupid dog.
She's pretty smart.
Oh.
She lives in your
house. She just found a different way under the fence. She's looking at me like, here I am. Okay, maybe she's not so stupid. Anyways, she knows this place better than I do. But yeah, she runs this place. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can make tea out of 90% of this stuff growing all over the place. Here's a big hedge apple tree we can graft some chia fruit onto. I'd rather do the smaller hedge trees, though.
Plantain.
Huh?
Plantain.
Oh, yeah. Plantain's great. She grows everywhere, too. Here's a honey locust I got to kill.
Tastes nutty. Good salad green.
Honey locust is good for you, too, but the thorns aren't. Honey locust is good for you, too, but the thorns aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Chamomile. Dara found some chamomile on our land.
Oh, yeah. It's got, Yeah, we're cultivating. We got wild blackberries on the land. We got two different varieties that we know of. I like the ones that get real tall, like 6 foot tall. Those are the better tasting ones. The ones that don't get, but maybe 2 or 3 foot tall, they're not as good.
But they're not very productive.
Yeah, the shorter ones would probably be better for jellies and jams because they're more sour. But the tall ones are more juicy and sweet. So, I'm trying to protect and cultivate the tall ones. Put like cattle guard around it and let it grow. And then let the goats and stuff eat everything that grows outside of the cattle guard, but they won't be able to get the stuff inside. And in that way, it'll keep it protected. Raspberries. We don't have any wild raspberries, but there are wild raspberries that grow all over the place. We do have some raspberries. Yeah. We do have some raspberries, but we don't... We do have some raspberries, but we planted those. Me.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
And that's it for Blog Talk Radio. Radio. All right, now I can hang up on my other phone. Yeah. So I guess that's about it, really. Anything else?
Your wintergrass is flowering now.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Actually, we don't. We used to. When we first came to the land, the whole field was nothing but wintergrass.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a ton of it. I just bought some grapes from Aldi's. I just put that in the dirt. In our sprouting section, put it in a bucket. We'll, or not sprouting, our cloning section. So once we figure out where we want to put that, put it there. Mulberries. Mulberries, hedge apples, and chay fruits are all related.
Yep.
We love mulberries. They got all kinds of varieties of mulberries. Now, this chay fruit tastes like, supposedly it tastes like bubblegum and or watermelon. But they get about golf ball size. So it's a nice big mouthful of yumminess.
Yeah, I'll be the judge of that when we eat it.
Yeah, it should be showing up any time now. Here's some Doc.
Hey, hedge apple actually tastes good if you catch it right after it froze.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to experiment with that this winter. Or this fall, whenever the hedge apples start dropping, we'll have to throw them in the freezer and freeze them, and then take them out of the freezer and eat them. See what they taste like.
Now, when I ate on that frozen hedge apple, parts of it weren't frozen. And so I only kind of dug my teeth into the parts that froze.
Right.
So it was just the surface that I ate. I didn't eat deep. The rodents, they go deep down to where the seed layer is, and they eat all the seeds, and they fluff up everything else.
Right.
So.
Yeah, elderberry on the land, it's growing pretty good. And that's good for you. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of hemlock growing on the land. That's not good for you. It's a strong medicine.
Right, and I have no idea how to use it.
Right. We also have pokeberry.
I add it to my compost instead of feeding it to the chickens.
There you go. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's high in nutrients, but we can't eat it. Grows here. We don't have any right now, but it'll be growing here shortly. And that's
you dropped out one word. What grows here?
Berry.
What berry?
Poke.
Oh, yeah, it grows here.
Yeah, it's not growing right now, but it does grow here.
Okay. Yeah, we get tall pokeberries on our land.
Yeah,
High enough I can't reach the berries.
You don't want to eat more than maybe a half a handful a day. But, yeah, it's a strong medicine. We also got sumac growing here, and that's edible. We got three different varieties of sumac.
Maple.
Honey locust is edible, but I hate it. I'm about to get my chainsaw out and kill me some honey locust.
Yeah. We need to start trimming down the one near our bathroom.
Pond? Oh, that one too.
Yeah, we need to trim down the one near. Trim it down and see if we can get the seed pods where they can be picked. And if not, then remove it.
Oh, yeah. If we top it, it'll branch out.
Yeah, top it, bring it down. And if it doesn't produce seed pods where they can be reached, then there's no point in having it. So.
Right. Well, there's one behind your camper. We can top it too and see what to do. You know what we can do with it.
There's a honey locust behind my camper.
Yep.
All right, that must be new.
No, right. It's a couple years old.
All right. Yeah, we'll start working with it now and see what it does.
Right on. Anyways, yeah, we got wild garlic, we got wild leeks, and wild onions. We got a bunch of wild garlic right here, growing like crazy.
Yep.
Leeks, I don't know.
I think those might not be wild garlic. I think they might be garlic that had gone feral.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a fine distinction, but... You know, it's...
Well...
We found it in the wild, and then we propagated it.
True. Yeah, well, then it's still wild. Because I remember those seeds, when I found that wild garlic up in Illinois, I spread the seeds around... And I planted some of it in our garden. And so I think that's where the wild garlic that we are finding around the property is those seeds that I flung all over the place.
Well, I know that wild onion, wild garlic, chives, they all grow on the land nicely. So,
yes.
You know, and if you got a sulfur well, you know, your water tastes bad because there's too much sulfur. Grow garlic, grow onions. They love sulfur.
There you go. Well, most of your plants are going to like sulfur. Sulfur is real good for irrigation. Now, if we drill and we get sulfur water, I'm going to make that our irrigation water. And then drill again for hopefully better water.
Yeah, drill deeper. Well, you know, if you hit sulfur water, yeah, you got a point. Well, if they drill deeper, they just go down the same well shaft and just drill deeper.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if they. I don't know how they determine whether or not they got good clean water or not while they're drilling, because it's all muddy when it's coming up.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, sulfur water actually is good for you. It's just people don't like it because it doesn't taste good. They don't like drinking rotten egg smell.
Yeah, and it's slimy. I don't mind taking a shower in it though. But, hey, there we go. In our showers, we can have two spigots, a sulfur spigot and a non-sulfur spigot. We take a pre-shower with the with the sulfur water, and then rinse off with the non-sulfur.
Okay.
I'm kind of joking, but kind of serious at the same time. Sulfur is good for you. So, you know, take a shower in the sulfur water, let it soak in, and it rinse off with the non-sulfur water.
Well, people used to come with their horse and wagon and get barrels of sulfur water from El Dorado Springs.
Right.
And haul it back home. Because it was famous for soaking in it.
There you go.
People would spend the time and effort to come and get the special sulfur water. And now we just think it's nasty.
Well, yeah. I mean, now we kill chickweed and dandelions when it's free food
it
and medicine.
It turns those things yellow.
Meow. Mimi. Mimi.
I'm being teased about my accent.
What accent? Your Norwegian accent?
Oh, no, I don't know what she's talking about. We ain't got no accent here.
I'm sorry, I'm from Missouri. We wash our stuff in the zinc.
In the zinc?
The zinc. Ow! Mimi loves me too much. Anyways, I'm looking for some more free food and medicine, but I'm not seeing any. Anything else you can think of besides walnuts?
Well, I found that if you take the time to look up, just reach down into your lawn and grab a handful of green stuff.
Oh.
And spread it out and look at it. And anything you don't know the name of, if you look it up, I found that 90% of the things I look up, they're edible. And of the 10% I didn't find to be edible, well, 9 out of 10 of those is because I couldn't find anything.
Gunnettle, henbit, clover.
Henbit, nettles.
Henbit, clover, and dead nettle.
I just found two more. Cleavers, which I call Velcro. That's really good for you.
Yeah, people call them cleavers. They're also called bed straw. They have a nutty taste. They will stick to your tongue, they will stick to your lips as you try to eat them. You know, but they don't really stick to your tongue.
They do mine.
They're good for you. Yeah.
And then,
well, yeah, I got teeth.
Mullein.
I said mullein.
Yeah, we said mullein.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's coming up. We got two.
That grows all winter.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll sprout in the fall and all winter under the snow. It'll keep growing. Every time the snow melts, your plant will be bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, mullein.
My favorite.
Yeah, oh, there's a bunch of it growing over here by the chicken yard.
Yep, people starting to choke it out.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Chickens.
Well, yeah. Well, soon we'll start juicing these thistles. I got some juicers, and we can go to a thrift store and get some more real cheap.
There you go.
Plan.
Yeah, we got electricity now.
We need a control box for the big inverter.
Yeah, but we got small inverters that can handle the juicers, I'm sure. As long as they're under 80 watts, I think yours is 120.
Yep.
Yeah, so if they're under 80 watts, then both of us can run juicers. If they're under 120, Sarah can run one down there.
There you go. Bada boom, bada bing. Get a juicer, get out there and start juicing your thistles.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go out there and start learning what the plants are. I mean, if you don't know what the plant is, look it up. And I'm very sure that there's enough bad plants out there that you don't want to just eat things at random. But they're really, it's a very small percentage.
Oh, right. Violets.
Violets.
We have violets. We have this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got those growing all over the place.
Not all over the place. We have one patch of actual violets.
There's a patch of violets growing on the dam of our upper not working pond.
They
do grow all over the place, but there's a nice patch of them right there.
Yes. That's what I meant.
And then there's a plant that Sarah thinks might be eyebright that's growing all through our woods. We just need to identify it.
Might be, but I'm not sure now.
Yeah, we're not sure what it is, but, you know, it has a flower like violets. That's why I thought about it.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's a plant that we haven't identified yet. We know what it looks like.
There's actually two. There's a five-petaled thing, and then there's the one with the violet flower that has the stringy.
Okay. Okay, so she's telling me there's two plants that she's looking at, thinking it might be. All right?
No, the other one's not eyebright, but
yeah,
I think it's probably edible, but I'm not sure yet.
All right. And so, you know, you go out and you look at plants, and, you know, you're going to be able to identify 90% of them. You're going to know one way or another whether it's edible or not. And like I said, 90% of the plants I looked at, I was able to determine that they were edible and good for you. Or they're a medicine. Sometimes they're just a medicine. You know, so something you don't want to eat all the time, but it's, you know, you want to know what it is. All right?
Oh.
Okay. The other 10%, you know, 1% of those turned out to be poisonous plant, you know, and then there was 9% I didn't identify, wasn't able to identify. But,
if you identify what's poisonous first and avoid those, you're going to be okay.
Right. So I don't eat carrots because I eat carrots that come from the store. I eat carrots that I grow, if I grow some. All right. I don't eat carrots in the wild unless I'm absolutely positively sure that it's not hemlock.
Right. Because hemlock is the bushiest, most yummiest looking member of the carrot family that grows in the wild. And so it's tempting to want to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, basically,
good.
Yeah. It's very, it's very healthy and yummy looking, but it's not healthy. It might be yummy. We hear it's yummy. You don't want to eat it. But anyways, yeah, if you research what's poisonous, there's so few of those that if you educate yourself on that first, you'll be fine foraging and not knowing what else you're eating if you identify what you're not supposed to eat first and don't eat those.
For the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the U.S., we don't have...
You eat asparagus flowers. I was told the berries were poisonous, and you're eating the flowers. And it's like,
Well, I eat nightshade flowers, too.
Yeah, yes. And, you know, not everything they say is poisonous is going to prove to be poisonous to you. But you should be aware of it, and you should know that you're taking a risk. So.
Right. So once you identify what's poisonous, then you start identifying what is good for you and what it's good for. And like we said before, even some of the poisonous stuff is actually strong medicine, so you can still identify what it's good for as well. And go from there. Get Marcus Rothkrenn's book, Free Food and Medicine, Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get on YouTube and Google wild edibles. Go to our website, freefoodandmedicine.org, and eventually us and other people will be uploading Free Food and Medicine videos, where, you know, educating people on what in the wild is an edible. I got a bunch of videos on it, and that I either downloaded or that I recorded myself, and I need to put them on freefoodandmedicine.org. I just haven't done it yet. I have put some on our Facebook group, Free Food and Medicine Facebook group, so you can go there and watch some videos as well. And, but yeah, just look up online different wild edibles, and there's all kinds of people out there like us who have done homework and are willing to educate you on what's edible and what's good for you and whatnot.
Whatnot?
There's a small tree in our sprouting yard that we put there, but it is a thing that is found in the wild here in Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. It's
the fake
pawpaw.
Pawpaw.
Yeah, my fig plant died on me completely.
Oh, okay.
Turns out I actually put it in the wrong place. But, I mean, it didn't even make the first winter.
We'll get more.
Unfortunately, I bought from a place that's famous for selling bad plants and not being good about replacing them. So, but that said, I won't buy from them again.
Yeah, we'll get some more from a more reputable place.
Yep. And did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
I think.
Okay. I thought I heard a ding.
Yeah.
That was my other phone.
Ah, your other phone hung up on you.
You'll
have to talk to your other person about that.
Right. I only have multiple personalities when I'm got a girlfriend and dealing with her multiple personalities.
I'm going to use that.
Why,
you two-faced son of a bitch.
Hey, I'm only two-faced because you are.
I don't have any Geminis, but that might be the problem I'm having with this one girl I'm talking to. She's got Venus in Gemini.
There you go. That'll do it.
Right?
I'm sorry. You don't want any girls with a Venus.
All right. I'm
you said. Yeah. Anyway.
There was a V on the beginning of that.
He always says that. I was actually expecting it. So, that's why I pronunciated my V-ness to make sure it was clear.
All right. Now I said it with a V.
I know. But anyway, there's our geese.
Yes.
And ducky.
And those actually can make a very tasty wild edible.
Yeah. They don't watch where they're going when they're walking behind them. They're just like watching me and running into everything. They're funny. So the one with the knot on his head, that's the male, and the other one's the female?
I'm guessing, but that isn't the determining factor, because there's females that have knots on their head like that.
Oh, okay.
So, but I have a feeling we just have two males left, and one's just more delicate looking than the other.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter, they're too old to lay eggs. So it is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't fight with one another, so I assume one's a male, one's a female.
Right on.
We got hemlock growing in our onions.
Yep. I got to come down there with a machete and remove the rest of the hemlock because they're a little too tough to pull them up by the root now. I have to get on them earlier next year.
Fire. Oh, wait, no, we don't want to do that.
No, because we got our Jerusalem, we got our sunchokes growing in that same patch. And honestly, that's the only reason I'm removing the hemlock. If the Jerusalem artichokes weren't there, and I wasn't worried about the hemlock choking them out, I wouldn't. The soil, for whatever reason, wants the hemlock.
Right.
Okay? So it's something the soil needs. Otherwise, it wouldn't be growing there. Now, we might find a better thing to grow there. Maybe carrots would do the job.
Right. But with all the hemlock, it'd be difficult to grow carrots.
This is true.
That's all right. We could take a machete and kill the hemlock.
Kill the hemlock.
Yep. Or my clippers. They'll work. All right. So this concludes the Manic Monday podcast, free food and medicine version. Here in a couple minutes, we'll call in to the ScrapGov Scrap podcast and see what Ron Paul, Dr. Ron Paul, has to say.
All righty.
All right. Party on, bye.